I look at it.
Marcus, what about you? What's your whole take on the voting system
in
a nutshell?
Yeah, I think you know my take is, Alex Jones says it best. Voting is rigged, but then he takes it one step too far and says, but vote for Ron Paul.
Yep.
Voting is rigged, but vote for Ron Paul. That's all I need to say about voting. I haven't voted in my entire life. I was going to vote for Ross Perot, but he dropped out. In fact, Ron Paul is the new Ross Perot.
Yeah.
Right. I've never voted in a presidential election or whatever. You know, I do vote in the smaller ones and everything. You know, but either way,
that's the only place that's not fixed, Justin. That's the only time it's legit is when it's in your town or whatever.
You know what sucks though is now here's the thing. Even when you get into small politics, when it comes down to running a town or whatever, running a city, what they're going to do is they're going to end up having to do whatever the federal government does to get that federal money. If not, you're not going to be able to operate your town or your city, you know, and your schools and everything else. So, you know, when you see all these towns giving into Agenda 21 and keeping, you know, their water fluoridated, you know, and keeping, you know, all this, you know, letting the police state come into town, you know, in whatever way is possible, it's because they need that federal coin, you know, and that's, you know, that's the thing about it is almost there. It's like, you know, unless you have somebody with balls, you know, left that's willing to stand up to them, there's not many left. Like I said, you know, even the last few years, you saw how many police chiefs, you know, how many banker people, you know, how many have resigned just this year. They're people that are in the way, you know, and that's the main thing. They don't care about you. They'll just replace you. The people in these situations know what can happen to them if they, you know, buck the system. And so they give them, hey, you know, why don't you just resign and everything will be okay. I don't know. It's I've kind of delved off a little bit, but I think, you know, that's what sucks about local politics even these days. You know, there's not even a chance to, you know, because there's small issues out there. Like I said, like water fluoridation for one, you know, of course, GMOs and stuff like that, but you know, that's not really like a city level thing. But you know, just in general, these little issues and stuff, that's where they make it impossible to, you know, to even combat these things. I think, you know, those are the only fights that we can really fight anymore is trying to get our, you know, our towns free of water fluoridation and whatnot. I don't know. And that's the one thing that people don't realize is how dumbed down that stuff makes you. You know, it's been used by dictators since Hitler to keep people dumbed down. We have it has no benefit towards your teeth. It actually rots them. You know, I don't know. It collects in your pineal gland. Makes you dumb.
That's what they want, people to be docile, people to be dumbed down, people to be docile. The thing is, people aren't critical thinkers. You have people that think they're smart, you have book smart, you have street smart, but then you have critical thinkers, and there's not a lot of them. There's a lot of people that just can't think for themselves. They need to be influenced by somebody, and they need to be shown which road to go down, and they can't really think outside the box, you know what I mean? That's why I like talking to other people like you and like Marcus, you know. That's why, like, how I, you know, went and found Marcus on his show just by seeing his website and decided to call in one time. And, like, his buddy that he talked about, Chris Kendall, I showed you one of his videos. He had a 9/11 video where he called Willie Rodriguez and Joyce Riley, and he started talking about, well, what if, you know, why isn't this in the building? Where's all the chairs? Where's all the desks? Where's all the file cabinets? Where is all the debris? You know, what if the buildings were empty? And they just kind of, Willie did his little thing. He went on and on with a bunch of bullshit for like friggin' 20 minutes, you know, and they cut him on. But yeah, like Chris, he's another one that's really awake. There's not too many of us, and I'm sure there's some people that are listening to this show right now that are like us too. Or hopefully we get them to be more like us and more to realize. I think the biggest thing out of everything that we try and tell people, you have to understand how fake everything they show you on TV and the media and everything they advertise to you, how fake everything is. You know what I mean? It's unbelievable, and it's so powerful. The television is so powerful. I hardly ever watch it anymore, but I know a lot of people watch it all the time. And they just throw so much crap at you. Even the movies, too. I mean, that's what Hollywood was set up for. It was set up for propaganda. That's the real reason it was set up. Right, Marcus?
Absolutely. In fact, it doesn't end there. I mean, the CIA, I call Hollywood East. I call NASA Hollywood South. They're all actors. They're all actors. You know, NASA says that they're working on anti-gravity devices on Earth. That means they already have it. And that really makes a lot of sense if you think about it. If you watch, I don't think the space shuttle goes where we're told. In fact, if you go to YouTube.
No, me neither.
If you go to YouTube and you type in space shuttle from airplane window, you'll see a bunch of people who were lucky enough, fortunate enough to be traveling when the space shuttle went up in Florida. And you'll see about 2 minutes and 10 seconds that every time after liftoff, the space shuttle goes vertical, and then it makes a 90-degree turn.
Yep.
And goes horizontal.
Exactly. Exactly what I've been telling people. It stays in low Earth orbit, if that. If not even lower. The airplane obviously isn't in low Earth orbit, so the shuttle's even lower than I'm thinking. What are we talking? Are we talking like 30,000 feet only? Or are we talking maybe a little higher?
I don't think it even goes into space, and that's a whole nother discussion. And your dog agrees. Whatever that noise was.
Yeah, that was my dog.
He agrees.
No, I don't
think
it goes into deep space, that's for sure. I thought it went into at least shallow space. I was under the impression that for photo op reasons and whatnot, the space shuttle would go up like maybe 200 miles up or something, and they could float around in the space shuttle, but they really weren't deep in space, and they could send some video back to Earth. We look at us, we're up in the space shuttle, but they're really not going anywhere, and they kind of just hang out there for maybe not even a couple days, maybe just a few hours until, you know, nobody's looking up that way and they can land, and then they stage another landing later on, like a week later, and say they came back from the moon or wherever the hell they came from. That's probably similar to what they do. They probably just don't go as high as I'm thinking, huh?
Don't know. All I know is they have the technology. They have to have the technology to do anti-gravity on Earth. And if that's the case, that means all them bouncing around on the space shuttle and bouncing around on the International Space Station. It's interesting. An old friend of mine, and he doesn't talk to me anymore, because I asked him about this. He was in we had something called Flex Space. I was in the mailing business, and he actually designed a 1/30th scale model of the International Space Station well before anyone even knew about ISI.
Uh-huh.
And his name was Andy Dogger, I'll never forget. And NASA paid him like $60,000. And he was so excited, not because of the money. I mean, he probably lost money on the deal. But the idea that he was, you know, commissioned by NASA to create a miniature model, a 1/30th model of the International Space Station. Wouldn't that be something if my buddy Andy created the fake scenery that's used all the time to show what's going on in the ISI? And wouldn't it just be something if they were using this anti-gravity machine on Earth to have actors pretend like they're floating and doing experiments? I mean, you can't put it past these guys. They've lied about everything else.
Oh, no, I don't put anything past them. It's crazy, man. I could go 34 years on this Earth, not know about 9/11, not knowing about the moon landings being fake. There's just so many things I didn't know, and it's crazy how it's just everything's a lie. I wouldn't doubt anything that they say is the opposite. It's such a lie. I mean, look at all the bullcrap they pushed on you in grade school about the solar system and the moon landing, and you have little toys of astronauts and space shuttles, and honestly, man, if they tried to pass that video off on people like us, I mean, we'd laugh at it. I mean, it wouldn't take 10 years to figure it out like 9/11. We would have known the first night that the moon landing was fake. I mean, come on. Stuff was just awful.
The moon landing stuff looks terrible as far as, like, the actual moon – whatever the thing was that came off. What was the part of the
lake? The Luna Lander.
Yes, the Luna Lander. Looked like it was made of tinfoil.
I saw some real interesting pics of it the other night. It's actually got construction paper and aluminum foil wrapped around parts of it.
You know, actually,
I will put the picture up later tonight on the website.
I know what you're talking about. You know what's crazy too is actually I was looking a lot into Stanley Kubrick, And it's believed that, Kubrick was one of the people who filmed that. And if you look into it, you know, here was a guy, he was deep into the occult. You know, and he actually exposed it in his last movie, which is Eyes Wide Shut. He died, I think, 2 days before it came out. He exposed the, you know, the Manhattan elite crowd, you know, the orgies and whatnot. The movie is really hard to follow and whatnot, and I think it's been heavily edited too, because there was stuff in there they didn't want, you know, coming out. But you know, there's a guy, and you know, there's a lot of people out there that are big into the occult. A lot of them OTO and whatnot in the movie industry, and that's a big thing, is to start, you know, looking in some of these movies for predictive programming. You know, and it's everywhere. But Kubrick was one of the biggest, though, to do it. If you look at Space Odyssey 2001, that had a you know, a big, you know, it was pretty big for you know, future events. All this stuff was Dr. Strangelove, Full Metal Jacket, you know. So I mean, you know, I think that's one place, like you said, with Hollywood, you know, it's really there for mind control. You know, it's just like the television.
And so is all the, pretty much, and we talked about this before, but Marcus, you weren't here for this. I mean, we talked about the music industry and how, you know, how controlled that really is. And you could be the best guitarist in the world, but if you don't want to put their message out, guess what? You're not going anywhere.
Yeah. Do you really think Britney Spears is worth $100 million?
No.
Right. I mean, I literally know people in high school bands who are better players of music, better singers than almost anyone. I mean, Whitney Houston was certainly talented. But besides that, don't think so.
No, not at all. So many of them have no talent at all.
By the way, I would caution Justin on the idea of predictive programming. Predictive programming, from what I've seen, is only when there's no way you can figure out what's to come. The only way that predictive programming is predictive programming is when you go back and connect the dots. The opposite of predictive programming is scaremongering. So, you know, if Alex Jones says one thing after another and it's obvious what he's saying, that's typically scaremongering. Programming.
For instance, I totally understand what you're saying. But for instance, like you know, when you see in movies all of a sudden that the you know, say in the 90s before 9/11, if you looked at the movies and you saw that every time they showed a terrorist, it was an Arab. You know,
right.
just stuff like, you know, it's simple stuff like that. And I think, you know, as far as, I don't know if you're if you believe in that they're going to pull off a fake alien invasion, but I do. I think that's going to be one thing that they're going to pull off. And I think that's another thing to where we see, you know, 21 alien movies and UFO movies coming out in 1 year. You know, that's what I'm saying, is I think that it's, you know, a way to, whether it be new age wise or just in general, to try to push the public towards certain things. And that even goes towards destabilizing, you know, family life and turning, you know, girls into whores by, you know, making all these, you know, films with teenagers having sex and whatnot, you know.
I totally have to cordially disagree with you about pulling off a fake alien invasion, because that's exactly what I'm talking about. It's too obvious. Everyone's talking about it. That's not predictive programming. Doesn't work that way. Predictive, like I said, predictive programming, you'll, even the smartest guys who look into this, like maybe us, we're like the smartest guys looking, we would never figure out predictive programming in the future sort of sense. We would only be able to connect the dots looking back. Like with 9/11, when you look at these predictive...
Hindsight.
We can go back and look at, you know, The Simpsons with the 9/11 cover and the Lone Gunman episode,
yeah,
and all that kind of
right.
stuff. There's no way you would have been able to figure that out looking forward. And that's what predictive programming is. It's scaremongering. So I'll tell you what, if you give me your PayPal address, I will cheerfully send you $50 cash by PayPal if there's a faked alien situation going on. It
awesome.
Ain't going to happen.
What's the time frame on that?
And for my life.
All right. sounds good.
And you have nothing to lose because I'm not looking for anything in return. It's not going to happen. I have several standing $50 bets. That one just added. The other $50 bet I have is that we're going to go to war in Iran. So
I agree with you with the Iran thing, because how long have they been pushing it? You know, it's
8 years now.
They would have just done it by now, right?
8 years. Also, give $50 to anyone who can scientifically, not statistically, send me proof that smoking causes cancer. I'll send you $50 PayPal. No one's ever
That's
taken me up on that.
I'd like to hear more about this. That's interesting, because they could easily use that as a cover for all the foods that they make you sick with and everything else.
My quick opinion on that is I agree with Marcus on smoking thing. The only thing in if you smoked regular tobacco, you'd be totally fine. The only thing is the shit that they add to it. However,
I'm talking even with the shit that they add to it. I will send any. Now, believe I have not puffed on a cigarette in my entire life. The smell is disgusting to me, but I look for the truth, and the truth is I can't find a single scientific study, not statistical, because anyone can make that stuff up. I'm talking double placebo blind, one group this, one group that shows that it causes cancer.
Well, I will say this. I'm going to go another step further, and so that bet's out there for anyone that can show Marcus that. I wouldn't take that bet personally. Because I'm with you on that. I haven't seen anything convincing really there either. Another thing, too, is this I've been saying for a while. Everybody is going crazy with this FEMA camp stuff. And here's the thing. They don't need FEMA camps. We're already in your own prisons. Everybody's because you're in a prison of fear. You're in a prison of just in general. The whole thing is they don't need that. They can just do a slow kill population control with cancer. And all these other things out there by putting all these things that GMOs and everything else in our food and our water and air, in my opinion, they don't need to lock it. Why would they lock up everyone that's making them their money, so they can control everything? It doesn't make sense. That's another thing I think that the Jonestown people totally.
I think that's the tipping point too. If they started doing that, people would revolt and they wouldn't stand for it. So why would they do that and upset the whole system? You see your neighbors getting hauled off. That's when you're going to finally actually wake up, hopefully, and do something about it before they come for you. You know.
And that stuff's been 20 years or so already. We've been hearing about.
They've been talking about that
camp
forever.
Red list, blue list. I do believe there may be a couple camps, but they don't. If anything, they're going to come by and give you the heart attack gun or something like that or whatever if they really want to off you. And if not, they're just going to, they know that you're not going to live long enough to collect nowadays, considering all the methods of soft kill they got out there. Keep drinking that aspartame and that, high fructose corn syrup and everything else. It's just, It's sad that people poison the well like that, and there's a lot of fear mongering going on. A lot of people don't even realize it, but I don't know. What do you guys think?
That's what most of the alternative media is for, is for fear mongering. I can't even look at Russia Today anymore. I mean, I can't.
Russia Today is bad, yeah.
It's garbage now. It's just straight
garbage.
You know who's
behind the funding of Russia Today, don't you?
I think you told me once, but I don't remember.
It's Pravda.
And who's Pravda again?
Oh, it's Russia. It's the propaganda arm of the Russian government. I mean, they're telling you, Russia Today.
Right.
People, this is amazing. That's like calling it Eddie Bernays news.
Well, that's why people think they can get real information from it, because it's not in the U.S. That's at least.
So then, fine, pick the Netherlands news or something like that. I mean, they're telling you it's Russia Today.
Right, exactly.
As far as, all the stuff that everyone's talking, this has been going on since my grandfather was alive. He told me that we were days away from martial law, 80 years ago.
Yeah.
Nothing has changed. People are like, I wanted to go back to the way it used to be. Well, except for a brief time in the 1970s when they had the Waltons, it's always been this way. I mean, remember, they called it the Roaring Twenties. They had the miniskirt back in the Roaring Twenties. So Lady Gaga was, you know, Betty Boop back in the 20s. So this is, they're just rinsing and repeating the same old formula.
Yeah.
The difference, and the good news, in my humble opinion, is that we now know they're scam. My dad doesn't know they're scam. My dad's dad doesn't know the scam. Neither does his dad. But because of this awful thing called the internet, and it is awful, when you use it the right way, you're able to figure out the scam.
Yep.
And it's great. And we're probably the first time in history that we slaves are up on the scam. So don't do what they want us to do. Just do the opposite. Just say no, as Nancy Reagan would say. Simple.
Yeah, the internet's been like their own worst enemy. They use it to, you know, push their propaganda, I'm sure. Well, but for some people, it backfires, you know?
You know what, though? It's what's sad is that so many people fall into these different things that it's really not even a weapon for us. So it ends up just turning into an IP data mining place. I totally agree, though. It can be something, and it has, you know, for certain things, but it just – people's, I don't know if it's the fluoride levels or what, but people are just not, you know, they get to a certain level of awakeness and then they don't want to go any further. They just, you know, they trade in their mainstream media shepherds for their new ones in the alternative media.
Yeah, they need somebody to follow. It's true.
I keep hearing your both of your frustrations over the amount of people who aren't getting it. And we should mark our calendars from like a year from now. And see how much different you're going to be. I guarantee you a year from now, you're going to write down in your calendar, you know, upset with the sheeple. And a year from now, you're going to be like, yeah, I can't believe a year ago we were like so upset about how people don't get it. And now, screw them.
No, I took a 6-month break because I, you know, was just when people were not getting anything that had to do with the, you know, the Ron Paul scam or anything. I took a 6-month break, you know, but I come back and I still just want to, you know, educate people, you know, and like you said, that's what I've taken with a lot of people. But a lot of people there, out there, can be woken up. It's just, you know, it's just a lot of them haven't, you know, a lot of them haven't had it in front of them, and that's, you know, because of whatever reason. I don't know. It's
well, let's flesh this out, Justin. Did you ever get a knock on the door when you're eating dinner from a guy or a girl with big smiles and Bibles in their hand?
What's that? You're talking about some Jehovah's Witnesses?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
And you wanted to shut the door on them real quick, didn't you?
Actually, I screw around with them sometimes.
Right, so you fuck yeah. with them, right?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
But you know what? You are the Jehovah's Witness of truth to people. You're no different.
Right,
you
right.
are no different than them. If you
You're
listen
right.
to Jehovah's Witness, they have a very good message. They don't listen to music. They don't celebrate birthdays. I do the same thing. I just had a birthday. I don't celebrate. I get mad when people celebrate my birthday. They do all the right things, except they are founded by Freemasons. They do all the right things, but their marketing is awful. And that's the problem with us. And I'm a marketing guy. I teach marketing for a living. And our marketing is awful. Awful. Doing these calls is the worst marketing move you could ever do. You're going to reach literally, you can literally scream out your window right now and reach more people than you will doing these calls. But I get why you do these calls. You do these calls because you think it's going to help. It's sort of therapy for you. I mean, this is what it is for me. But I could take, I mean, we've been doing this now since 10:30. We're on 2 hours right now. Could have taken 2 hours of time. I could have written several blog posts on my blog and reached hundreds of people per day and growing. Then I could, I guarantee if I check my stats right now, I won't even have 5 people go to my website for 2 hours. That's horrible marketing. Horrible. So if you think about it, we're the Jehovah's Witness of truth. And we think, and we're arrogant, we think we know the truth. And by the way, we don't. I tell people, I don't think we know 5%.
We'll never know the truth behind everything. And you know, a lot of it has to go with how much, you know, do they even all know as far as, you know, the elites? I think it's more, you know, what's the word, compartmentalized, where some may know this, some may know that. But, you know, as far as, you know, there's only a few, I think, that really know exactly what's going on as far as, you know, what's going to happen exactly 50 years from now or 20 years from now or whatever, however long they have it pegged for.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I think we have to be a little bit careful about, first of all, don't wish for, my dad always said, don't wish for something, you might get it. You know, what if enough people wake up, you know, we wish for that, that, you know, power of the numbers and all that kind of stuff. You know, these guys, it is clear to me that whoever is ruling the world, and I have an idea who it is, but I don't go public on it because I'm not, I don't know for sure, and I like to stick to the facts. But they can literally crash the economy in a day. They did it on 9/11 through their media. So if enough people wake up to, remember, they print the money. They don't need the money. They're worth trillions of dollars. The people at the top don't need the money. They need us.
Right. It's all about the power. They already have the money. They control everything as far as money goes. Like I said, just like it's a the Federal Reserve, the Wall Street, it's all symptoms. The main thing is, like you said, they need us to work. They need us to go and pull the resources for them. That's all.
And invent their future living. And what's interesting is they have convinced us to make ourselves obsolete through invention.
Right, exactly. To transhumanism.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So don't wish for something because you might get it. I'm at the point right now, it's great. If, you know, because I know there's no way that, you know, millions of people are going to wake up to this stuff. I've already admitted that defeat. But that's okay. I don't know if that would be in our good interest anyway. I'm now being very selfish. Of course, anyone who wants to listen, that's why I'm on this call. But I'm very selfish, and life is very good because knowing the truth has helped me in so many ways. I'm a healthier person now for it. I'm a more tolerant person. I make more money because of it. I'm healthier, except I've got a cold. This is the first time I've had a cold in a year and a half. But because of talking about this, I figured out that all you need is the cheapest pill ever, vitamin D3. I've been testing vitamin D3 now for a year, almost 2 years coming up, and this is the first time I got sick. It's the first time in my life I've gone any amount of time without getting sick, all because of vitamin D3. So talking about this stuff with real people has helped me physically, mentally, and financially. So I don't care if people get caught up in this stuff anymore. It's their loss. If people don't understand after all the shit that they're throwing upon us, especially with the internet where you can look into this, if they still don't get it, then it's game over for them, and I'm done with them. I can't possibly care about someone who doesn't love themselves, and they don't love themselves.
I agree. I want to get into something that Marcus brought up a little bit before, and it's what the elites actually have planned in the future. And this one I think we all agree on is the transhumanist element. Now, what we can this comes out of is that these people actually believe they have the right to go and because of medical technology and all this other stuff, go and live for thousands of years with fake parts and whatever else, and pretty much, you know, act like gods and pretty much just have robots and clones and everything else. You know, doing all the dirty work for them. So eventually humans will be obsolete, and that's what this is all about. You know, so I mean, that's what they're going for. You know, they keep pushing that agenda more and more. I don't know. What do you have to add to that?
Well, if you type into Google right now, TED, TED space 3D space kidney.
TED space 3D space kidney?
Uh-huh. There's a scientist named Anthony Atala, and you can click on that first link. Printing a human kidney. He can print, using a 3D printer, a working kidney in 7 hours.
I've heard about this. How does that work? I've heard something about 3D printing and how it's going to replace all these things in your life. What the hell is it?
Okay, so if you go on Google, you'll see on the right there's three videos. On the right, there's a 17-minute video. He explains exactly It's done. And the machine, while he's doing his speech, is printing a working kidney that allegedly has been working on the guy he brings on stage for 10 years now.
Wow.
How does that work? What type of material is in there that it does that?
They take a swab of your DNA half the size of a postage stamp.
Yeah.
And they whip, it's some kind of whipping process, this material that feels just like a kidney. He was holding this kidney, it looked like a kidney. It was squishy and it was amazing.
That's crazy.
Video. It is the most, it's probably as amazing as the Pollywood movie. It's that good.
I had heard something about this the other day, and I didn't know. I thought it was like a joke or something.
No, it's a real kidney that's been implanted in this guy. He's been living for 10 years. Now, maybe the guy's fake. Maybe the whole story's fake. Who knows? I'm proud to be the most skeptical person on the planet. But it looked pretty real to me.
I'll tell you what, you know, and it comes down to it. Guys like Dick Cheney don't even have a heartbeat. When you look at these guys, you know, David Rockefeller, Kissinger, these guys are all, you know, 90 plus, and none of them have Alzheimer's because they go and they get detoxed for heavy metals. You know, they all get the right medicines. They're not getting the same thing as you and I, you know, and that's the thing. It's already part, it's already happening. And this is just evidence even more of how far along they are. And this isn't even, God knows how long that the government is. You know, this is just somebody. Is this person associated with the government, or are they just a researcher on their own, or they're probably part of a college study or something?
Who's that?
The guy that made this 3D kidney thing.
Oh well, when you're a member of TED, that's total eugenics and
right. Oh, so this part of the, like the TED conference where like Bill Gates and all that. Right? Okay. Yeah, you know, and here's the thing: if anyone's skeptical about the fact of how open these people, you know, about them and their population control and how they the eugenics program, you could just Google the TED conference, Bill Gates talking about how with birth control and vaccines, they can limit the population by 15% in 10 years. Now right. That he just told you that vaccines are murdering you. You know, so what does that say to everyone out there?
Although when Bill Gates was asked about that, he spun it in a different way. I forget how he spun it, but he said he was taken out of context.
Yeah, he wasn't taken out of context.
Mm-hmm. No, he meant it, and everybody in that room knew damn well what he meant, too.
But here's the deal. I haven't given my one son, he had one vax, he had one shot, only because I didn't know any better when he was first born. That's it. And he's like healthy as a horse. I get a whole family. My wife never gets sick. She got sick. My other son, who has vaccinations, he never gets sick. He got sick. So everyone got sick this week. But we never get sick, and my son doesn't take any vaccine. So don't take a vaccine. It's simple.
Right.
It's just amazing that people, we're told that they're putting in the stuff in a shot that's going to prevent you from getting that. And that doesn't pass my BS test.
No. You know, and here's the thing is, you know, you're given an immune system for a reason. It's worked all these years.
Right.
You know, who are we to go and mess with it and think that, you know, that by introducing...
They're weakening it with the toxins they put in it. I mean, we know that. That's what they're doing. They're making you more vulnerable to get sick. If they really worked, guys, why do you need to go back and get them again? Like get booster shots and stuff.
Right.
Shouldn't they work forever?
You know, and here's another thing too that has to do with vaccines is just the what was I gonna say? Slipped my mind. Sorry. Go ahead. Sorry, Brian.
No, it's all right. It's all right. I'm just saying, you know, if they really work like they should build up your immune system for you, and they should make it so, you know, you don't get sick in the future. But no, you have to keep going and getting them.
That's what I was gonna say. Sorry. Yeah. No, I agree. Here's the thing I was going to say before my mind fucking blanked out on me. Nothing, too, if you notice when they were pushing all this swine flu stuff, this, you know, fear-mongering about the swine flu and trying to get everyone to get their vaccines, the hand sanitizer was another thing that was on, you know, that was big out there. If you look at hand sanitizer, in reality, what you're doing is, you know, you're taking away the natural germs that are there and you know, and actually help your immune system. If you know, I saw these kids that are carrying it in their backpack and their mother telling them to use it every hour. And in reality, you end up being too clean and your body's not used to it and you're going to get sick more often. You know, so, I mean, there's many facets to their public relations campaigns behind all these things, you know, and it's just insane.
Yeah, like,
how,
like, suntan lotion, isn't that worse for you than just like sunscreen, isn't that worse for you than just taking in the sun? Isn't taking in the sun healthy? But they want you to think you're going to get cancer from it, and you put these lotions on that actually give you cancer.
Right. Well,
I've heard that. I haven't researched it, so I'm asking you guys.
I've got proof. Anytime I take my sons to the beach, to the pool, we never stay in the sun more than, well, what we do is in the beginning of the season, we go 60 minutes and that's it. No suntan lotion, ever. We go 60 minutes and then we gradually build it up towards a couple months into the summer, we go 90 minutes. And that's it. And so far, so good.
Right. You know, here's the thing is with sunscreens is the people, too, that are out there and they're not out there for that long a time, you're blocking vitamin D, the sun's vitamin D. You know, I mean, if you're really one of these gingers, you know, really one of these really white people, I don't know, you know, but as far as it goes, I think it's more, again, more fear-mongering. It's more of the thing to sell their product. You know, I don't know. I've never needed sunscreen. Of course, I have Italian skin more, so, I mean, I don't get burned really, but I did in Cancun, and you know what? You get burned once in the summer, you don't get burned after that. You assimilate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure. As far as germs go, that's a pretty big revelation for me that there's this psychological warfare on us about germs. To prove it, what I've done at the disgust of everyone I tell is I don't use soap. In other words, when I go to the bathroom,
yeah,
unless I actually get stuff on me, I won't even wash my hands. I've been doing that for 2 years now. So I'm going, again, the opposite of what they're telling me to do. Constantly with the hand sanitizer, okay, that means I'm not going to do anything. Now, of course, I shower each day, and I use soap when I take a shower. But I don't go above and beyond that. Now, sometimes, like when I put some hair gel in my hair, you need soap to get the hair gel off your hands.
Right.
That's the only time I'll do it. But I'm not going to do it for germ reasons. There's this, again, this psychological warfare on us about germs, that germs are really bad. Same thing with real milk. I refuse to call it raw milk. It's not raw milk. It's real milk. And they're telling us that the reason they pasteurize it and homogenize it is to get rid of bad germs.
Yep.
I've never once in the history of looking into this know a single person who died from drinking real milk.
Nope.
But plenty of people have died and have been very ill drinking pasteurized and homogenized milk.
Right. You know, it's insane now with that, you know, just the campaign they put out against it. And you know, raw milk or real milk, as Marcus called it, is really has probiotics in it, which the body needs.
Much better for you.
You know, to help break down the other food and whatnot. And like you said, all the nutrients, everything gets taken out when it's pasteurized and homogenized and everything.
I heard the pasteurization actually makes it so it, like, cuts up your arteries, like scratches up your arteries, the milk, when you get the fake milk, when you get it pasteurized and homogenized. I don't know if that's true. That's what one of my friends told me, though.
Huh. I don't know. I do know this, that it's irradiating it. It's taking out all nutritional value. That's one thing it's doing.
Yeah, it's like almost boiling it, right? Just bring it almost to a boil?
Yeah. Well, pasture after Louis Pasteur. That's what it is. It's bringing it to an intense heat. And that they're saying that way it's now safe for you to consume. I don't know. You know, it's one of those things.
I
that
bought raw milk this summer at Whole Foods. I was really buying a lot of, you know, I was going all organic for a few months there, and I got the, you know, the real milk, you know, not the pasteurized and homogenized crap, and it tastes better, man. You know what I mean? It just tastes better.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. You know, it was crazy this summer. I was working at a goat farm for a couple of days. I asked the lady, I said, hey, can I, you know, can I buy some of that goat milk? And she looked at me like I was like some type of informant or something. And I think that has, you know, it's a lot to do with, you know, with what they've done the past couple of years. You know, whether it's fear mongering or not, but the, you know, how they put it out everywhere. She was scared to sell it to me, you know, and it just goes to show that, you know, it's, one way of keeping it, you know, keeping people from knowing what's good for them.
Yet there's a farm down the street from me that I now go to. I used to go an hour to get my real milk, even though I live in Lancaster County, where the Amish live. And there's an Amish guy who sells real milk without a license, without being a member of a closed club or anything like that. And I said, have you ever been, you know, any trouble or anything like that? He goes, no. So that tells me that whole Ogenous Founder Planet, who I interviewed, by the way, that guy's batshit crazy. You know, that whole thing about him, you know, his Rawsome Foods being, you know, SWAT team,
yeah,
and all.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it all.
Yeah, that has to be a psyop, and he has to be involved in that. Has to be.
It could absolutely be a psyop. I mean, at the time, I thought it was legit, but that's before I was this far down the road. Now, do you think that that's a psyop just because they want to discourage you from getting in the business of giving people that type of food?
Oh, sure. Think about it.
Well, like I said, she wouldn't even sell it to me. She heard a few cases or whatever, and that was enough to make her, you know, look at it like she was selling me a kilo of crack. You know, and probably if I talked to her 2 years ago, she probably would have said, yeah, how much you want? You know, it just goes to show. I mean, you know, and here's probably someone that doesn't even look into the alternative.
That's money. That's money, because they control the food so much from so many different spots. It's really corporatized. You know what I mean? There's like 6 major meat plants in the whole country. They control it so much. These people that are doing that, they're independent. They're not seeing any of that money. You know what I'm saying? I bet you that has a lot to do with it, because they don't control that, you know?
Mm-hmm. But this Amish farmer was completely, I'm sure he doesn't read the news or anything, he was completely naive. And I said, aren't you worried about selling, you know, without a club? Or, and he looked at me like I was half-baked. He's like, I'm just selling my milk from my cow. What's so wrong about that? And he's been selling it now for almost 2 years.
Yeah, I'd like to get I used to have one a few years ago. It was a Connect for Eggs, you know, fresh, you know, from chickens that actually eat real food and everything, but you know it's hard to find these days. And that was another thing that the food bill did, was take out the little farmers, the guys
and it's expensive when you do find it.
Right. It's like anything else. It's just insane, because you know they've taken away our right, you know, to have you know, good food. Food that's good for you, and brainwashed us into, and you know, and also because of people don't have time, you know, anymore or whatever else, and people are just, you know, quick and running around, and you know that everyone buys everything that's full of all these other preservatives and everything else, and you know, everything is just totally unhealthy. It's just it's how many people do you know anymore that even cook 5 days in a row? And then actually, you know, eat leftovers. I know people that don't even, you know, leftovers. Hey, I grew up in a household where we made 2 or 3 things out of something. You know, it's just the whole culture nowadays where people, they have it to where people are so, you know, so like rushing around, you know, I don't know the word for it is, but scared for one, too. And they just don't, they don't want to, you know, they can't cook anymore. They don't even know how to cook real food. I don't know. It's like every generation.
Call me crazy, but I think part of that, Justin, maybe I'm stretching here. I think part of that's like the breakdown of the family that you see.
It's No, you're not stretching at all. You're not stretching
you
at
guys,
all.
You guys know where I'm coming from there? Like,
Absolutely, people
people don't get together for dinner anymore. And when they do, they're sitting there looking at their damn cell phones.
Right. Well, you know,
I think it's well beyond the cell phones. You know, I get a lot of crap because I refuse to let my sons participate in anything that's run by Freemasons, and that includes organized sports. Every organized sport is run by a what they call a service club, which is Freemasonry. And the main reason for that is because if you listen to the parents who come home exhausted from soccer practice, and like Justin is saying, they don't even make food. You know, they go run out and get something from McDonald's.
Right.
That's dinner. So that's part of the breakup of the family too. Everything's a distraction. And by the way, we choose to not have time to do things.
We have a caller. Sorry to interrupt you, but we're going to put him right on the air.
Sure.
Caller, you're live on the air on Real News Radio. Brian Stavely, Justin Cook, and Marcus Allen. How are you?
Hey, what's going on? It's Dave. How you guys doing?
Good. How you doing, Dave?
What's going on, buddy?
Pretty good. I'm loving the show.
Thanks. What's on your mind?
You guys were just talking about the, you know, the whole hand sanitizer thing.
Yeah.
And that really drives me insane. I hate mothers every 3 seconds putting hand sanitizer on their children.
Don't you see it all the time, too? Like, everywhere in the grocery store, all the time.
I want to strangle them. But, you know, it's brilliant marketing, you know. Germs are bad, so
Hey, Dave, think of it. Back when we were kids growing up, Dave's from the same town as I am. Think about it. When we were playing football in Briarwood or whatever, pretty much eating dirt. You know, playing. We didn't go right in and wash our hands. No,
no.
You know,
that,
it's just
hands, like sick from the dirt. No.
Go home after football, eat something, then wash my hands. It's like that kind of deal, you know.
Yep. I mean, you know, I might have washed them before I ate or whatever, but, you know, regardless, though, you know, that's
my
the thing. It was part of the thing. You grew up, you know, you grew up with germs around. You grew up with, you know, you didn't have to shower two times. You're a kid, you know. And when you see the parents doing that stuff, it's just, to me, it's just the looking at the nanny state totally, you know, in full action. I don't know. That's my opinion of it.
Yeah, you know, it's absolutely right. My mom was the most protective mom in the world. I couldn't, you know, walk down the street at night, and she wasn't on me about that stuff. That stuff's good for you. That germs are good for you. Johnson & Johnson's making billions of dollars off scaring the shit out of these new mothers, you know.
Right. The
vegan mother or, you know, the naive mother. And capitalizing. I mean, it's just brilliant marketing.
It's everywhere now. Don't you see the hand sanitizers everywhere, guys? Like, not even in bathrooms, just like all over the place. You see these little pumps.
Yeah, I mean, my mom was recently in the hospital, and I understand doctors have to use it constantly, but that's why they're always sick. The guy who was, oh my God.
I think that regular soap would be better to use than this. I understand the sanitizer real quick, but, you know, I think even, you know, the regular soap as opposed to the alcohol-based stuff, which totally, you know, wipes, which gets rid of, like, everything. You know, I think that's even worse. I don't know. But either way.
Whatever happened to gloves, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, whatever happened to, I mean, you know, think about it. You go around, you don't even see kids playing outside anymore. And that was, you know, if you look at it, that's all part of the fear that's been brought on. And that was, you know, from the school shootings, Columbine.
Oh, yeah, don't talk to your neighbor. 9/11.
Right. You know,
don't
and
trust
then,
your
you
neighbor.
Know,
you know what I mean? You're not going to go let your kids hang out with them.
Everybody's a pervert. Everybody's, you know, out to. It's just the whole thing that they've been pushing for a long time. But in reality, they're the terrorists. They're the perverts. They're the warlords, you know. And just to put in extra legislation and just to. To keep people, you know, in that constant state of fear, because, you know, when you're in that, when people are in fear, they die sooner too. You get heart attacks, you get cancer, you know, it's just, man, I, you know, for people to go and just to the extent it is, like to break down the family, like this, like Brian said, and, this started at least in the 50s when you had, you know, but now it's even worse with the economy so bad. Parents have to work more than, you know, one or two jobs. So what happens? Your kids are getting indoctrinated all day at school. They come home like
by
you
the
know,
television.
You know, exactly.
They plop up in front of the television. Yep.
I mean, and you also have a higher divorce rate than marriage rate now.
Right.
So, right. You know, the institution of family no longer really exists.
Nope.
I mean, my parents have been together, you know, on and off. They're divorced, but they've been together, you know, on and off, whatever. I don't eat with them. I eat up in my room, you know. You know. And another thing I wanted to, you know, kind of ask you guys. When you guys were starting to questioning things, did you feel a lot of isolation from your friends?
Oh, yeah, I still do, man. I still have friends that I haven't talked to in months and months and months, you know, on any type of personal level, and I know that that's the reason why. I know it. I know that's the reason why. It's people I used to talk to every day. They would text me all day or, you know, call me, talk about the game, or call me, talk about this, call about that. I have people I don't even see anymore that were, like, you know, really close friends of mine, and I lost a friend over it. I lost a friend over the fact that I said this government pulled off 9/11. And I'm just, you know, I was just way out there by saying that, and they couldn't handle that. And I forget what I was told, but I was told that I've conformed into my own worst enemy and all this other nonsense, dude. And I was just like, wow.
Oh, you were self-destructing.
Yeah, because I realized that Osama bin Laden didn't blow up the Twin Towers. I'm my own worst enemy. I mean, that's what I was told. I see it all the time, Dave. I mean, still. I mean, right now. I'll tell you right now. You know?
Yeah, even I mean, if the, I thought I was on
you say you can count
that.
Your best friends on one hand? Well, those people that I would count on one hand, I mean, half of that hand, a couple of those fingers, I don't really see those people anymore. And I know why it is.
Oh yeah, I have people and stuff and whatnot. And they think that because I'm into this stuff, that I have no other. You know, they think that this is my only life.
You can't do anything else. Like you can't go out and have a good time with them or something.
Right. You know, and when I get together, you know, they get surprised. Like, yeah, you know, well, I'm still the same guy you knew. Yes, I don't buy into a lot of the bullshit. And I may inform you a little bit, but I'm not going to sit there and you know, I'm hanging out with an old friend. I'm not going to sit there and chew his ear off the whole time, you know, and that's what people, it's tough because, you know, you're seeing through something that these other people are not seeing through. And they think, you know, people that still believe that one party is better than the other, or they're all out to, you know, or that one party's terrible, the other party's good. And, you know, and the fact that, you know, some may just think that it's just Obama. Some may think it's just Republicans. When in reality, the whole system is flawed. The whole system has been under control by these elites, you know, going back to the you know, biblical times, the Roman Empire, you know, and they switch the faces of it, but the whole institution never, you know, goes down. But just recently, you know, just in the past, you know, 30 years, how many phony elections have we had and everything else? And the fact that
Al Gore thing.
Yeah, you know, I think that was Al Gore. Thing was to they gave him the global warming scam in exchange for putting Bush in the White House so they could pull off the 9/11 scam. You know?
Yeah, and he knew it. He laughed the whole way. Yeah. He was getting screwed. He was laughing about
it.
We talked
what's
about
funny
this
is,
last week, I think.
Yeah, he could have contested it, you know, and it just goes to show, you know, but there's a guy, Gore, he's just as dirty as the rest of them. You know, like I said, he went along with the next scam and made billions of dollars off that.
Yeah, it did surprise me that he didn't try to fight his ass off for what he won, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, now they don't even have to do that. And I almost wonder, you know, if they almost like leaked, they almost like want you to know that they're fixing the elections, yet people still want to hold on to this reality that they're taking part in democracy and that their vote counts and that, you know, but it's just a silly notion, really. Once you look at everything and consider, you know, what they're capable of and what they've done.
It's a big corporation, like we said before, David. It's not really a country. It's like run like a company. And they're not going to just let you pick the CEO of the company. They're going to hire from within. They're just going to hire who they want, and that's what they do. The whole goddamn political system is just an illusion. It's just to give you the sense that you have a choice. I know you know that. You know, people listening might not know that. But, you know, you really can't drive the point home enough. It's all fake.
I know. I've tried playing the game. You know, my grandfather was a Mason. All right, let me see that's about. Yeah. So let me go, you know, I meet with the guy, you know, he's telling me what I have to do to get in, you know, which is nothing, by the way. I mean.
Well, you're done with the first 3 degrees of masonry just to become a master mason. It's pretty simple stuff. You can see it on YouTube.
He was just saying that you have to be a law-abiding citizen, believe in God, or God, a higher power, whatever. Doesn't matter which one. And what kind of job you have, that type of deal. And, you know, I was at the point where, like, all right, you know, all my friends around me are having families and shit. I'm like, all right, maybe I should just play the game. But I don't want to play the game. You know, like, I can't.
In other words, like you're saying, you could go and go and play the game and get a nice cushy job and everything else, but you're just saying that you're objecting to it because you're realizing that part of it may be wrong, you know. And I definitely hear. Here's the thing I do want to bring up.
I applaud you for that, man.
Yeah, really definitely. Here's the thing I want to bring up, though, too, is a lot of times Freemasonry gets a lot of attention where it necessarily shouldn't be. Yes, it is one of these elite clubs where people go and they get paid from. But your average Mason doesn't understand a lot of the esoteric stuff, even that. You know, that it gets into, you know, like you said, a lot of people just go and join for business opportunities and whatnot.
Yeah, make connections.
Right.
That's what life's about, supposedly.
See, here's the thing, you know, depending on who you talk to, who the elite are, it's, in my opinion, if anything, it's just like a feeder group from them to kind of pick from anyway. I kind of feel that the top is more Rome with the Jesuits and of course I do believe that there was some Zionist involvement there, but it's chicken and the egg. And regardless,
yeah.
I'm not 100% even on that, you know, to say it, because I go back and forth with that one. But regardless, there is secret societies that are totally 100% involved. But no, not every Freemason is part of the network.
Most of them are, you know, good people that are, you know, in their community trying. There's actual good Masons that do help people, you know.
Yeah, and a lot of them think that they are too by going to these, you know, for the Shriner Hospital. They don't realize that money's being funneled into, you know. No, I agree. A lot of them, and even if they. Even if the stuff they're doing does come to bad intent, they don't realize it. You know, it's kind of like useful. So, you know, I do think there's a lot of stuff brought on them. The symbology I'll use is Masonic. It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, that everything is Freemason per se.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. He gave me a huge list of, like, presidents and scientists, sports, civil rights leaders, actors, founding fathers, musicians, business, huge names that are explorers that are in, you know, the family there. And it's crazy to look at some of the names, like DiCaprio.
Leonardo?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, he's probably... He's probably a Knight of Malta or something too. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, and that's the thing too. That a lot of these people are in more than one of these groups. It's not just, you know, there's a lot of people that are Knight of Malta, B'nai B'rith, Knights Templar, OTO, Ordo Templo Orientis. There's, you know, there's a lot of different things and a lot of different groups that make up this stuff. You know, so, I mean, it's there's even weird, the Odd Fellows and what's the other one? I don't even know. There's a million of these fraternal groups, and some of them get used. And, hey, some of them, it's just like you have York Rite, Scottish Rite. You know, there's some that are more influential than others, and some that are just, you know, whatever clubs.
What is that really big society? They like meet once a year, and it's basically all the world leaders.
That's
you're talking about the Bilderbergs.
That's the Bilderbergs.
Oh yeah, okay.
All right. Well, here's my take on that. I think they're more of a face
than anything because he's pushing
right.
it. I think that's right. just like how they give you. You know, they give you anything, like how they give you a boogeyman or whatever. I mean, that's what that is. That's like Soros. He's the same deal, you know?
Right. In my opinion, yeah, the Bilderberg is a group of influential elites, but what they're meeting there, they're just passing down to their subordinates what they're supposed to do to make whatever happen. The plans have already been made by the elite, you know, the real elite or whatever else, and those people are your, like Brian said, they're your faces, you know, like your, just like the president, just like the head of the IMF, you know, these people are not the real elites, you know. Yes, they are part of the whole thing, and they are all scum, but, you know, they're just another face.
So you think there's another society that we have no idea about? That's just
I think there's a lot of them. I think that you know, and some of them, yeah, we know, you know, we do know the names and whatnot, but no, you know, like Marcus was saying earlier, we're never going to know, you know, even 100%. And there's so many different ways you can go down this. There's researchers that'll tell you it's all, you know, Zionist Jews. There's researchers that'll tell you it's all the Jesuits. There's researchers that'll tell you, well, it's actually these other families, you know, behind the Jesuits. And, you know, there's other ones that'll tell you it's the royal families. And, you know, I think they all have a part to play, and I think until enough debate is done among people that really know what they're talking about, I don't know. I don't really want to jump to any conclusions. I don't know if you guys want to say anything on that, but.
Well, I mean, I think you pretty much hit it all. I mean, yeah, I think there's definitely groups that we don't know about. I mean, of course there is. We'd be naive to think that we know about them all, you know?
Yeah. There's a few, especially like the Pilgrim Society and the, you know, and these are just, again, they're probably like on the same level of these round. You see, Bilderberg, Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, and the CNP are what you, and also the, what's it, Club of Rome. Those are roundtable meetings, and those are where, like I said, where you get passed down the information, and that goes to, you know, your UN or these other, you know, these other big heads of business, and they realize what the new agenda is going to be, and so they figure it out and pass it down to their people. It's just, you know, but it is, do a lot of influential people meet there and have a secret meeting? Yes, totally secretive. You know, I just, as far as when Alex Jones claims the Bilderbergs are running the world, you know, no, that's the only thing that's kind of gets blown, yeah. You know, it's construed.
Yeah, guys, we're past 1 o'clock now. I'd say we're going to probably wrap it up in about, you know, 10-15 minutes here. You know, what else do you want to get into before we do that? Any of you guys, either of you guys have something you wanted to touch on that we didn't get to yet? Oh, you, Marcus, I haven't heard from you in a few minutes.
Just the who's at the top. I find it very interesting that there's an obelisk, which is Freemasonic, in almost every religious house of worship. If you look at a church steeple, for example, it's a sun on top of an obelisk on top of a cross. If you go to a synagogue, most of the symbolism is on top of an obelisk. So it's always the chicken and egg theory, you know, what came first? Was it religion that infiltrated Freemasonry that did religion? And I'm starting to lean towards it's all about Freemasonry.
Well, how would you see, there's another thing too that we can get to, is how would you view the Kabbalah as far as that goes? Because a lot of people say, as far as this goes, this stuff is all going back to, you know, to like, obviously the mystery schools, but then, you know, to like Solomon and all them, and as far as like the Jewish mysticism angle of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's all Freemasonry. I mean, if you just look into it, everything sort of points towards Freemasonry.
Towards the sacred geometry. So that's another thing, too. Chicken or the egg first. What came first? Sacred geometry or the Kabbalah? You know, that's...
Well, I'll tell you this. This is like the second most mind-blowing thing that happened to me this year. It's only March, which is the number phi or phi. You guys know about that?
No.
Oh, it's 1.618, which is a 99.99% correlation to pi, which is 3.14.
Right.
And if you get a Fibonacci scale, which is the same ratio, and you apply it to almost every body part, this is really freaky, by the way.
It has a 1.6. Fibonacci. I was just looking into this stuff. It's mind blowing. The Fibonacci. Sequence. Go ahead, Marcus. You explain it better than I can.
Yeah, if you look at like the spacing between your teeth, it all aligns up to the 1.618 number. If you look at the knuckles on your hand, again, 1.618. The bridge of your nose to the earlobe, et cetera, 1.618. And this is on everybody. Then that gets into who the hell created us discussion. You know, that gets really deep.
I was waiting to see what you were going to say next.
That gets very, very deep, and I don't think we can discuss that in only 10 minutes. So for another broadcast, as we like to say.
Yeah, definitely.
I have no idea what you guys are even just talking about. I've never even heard of it.
It's here's another thing with the Fibonacci sequence or whatever. It just shows that there's intelligent design pretty much behind everything out there. Whether it's a pine cone that is exactly just like you said, the same measurements and the same
amount.
What do you mean by 1.6? Like what you're measuring from one knuckle to the next, and it's a certain length. Like I don't understand what you're doing.
For example, if you imagine if you look at the Freemason logo, it's a compass and a square.
Okay.
And so you get your compass, which you can open and close. The Fibonacci scale is sort of like a compass, but it's got multiple pivot points, almost like your hand. So that when you spread your hand out and your knuckles, no matter how you spread it out, always aligns on this 1.618 figure. The most telling one to me were the gaps in your teeth. If you were to take this Fibonacci ruler and put it up to anyone's mouth, you'll see that the gaps in your teeth align up perfectly every time.
Except on Michael Strahan.
type in into Google PHI. Teeth.
That's eerie.
what are you saying to his relative to each other? It's not a certain measurement, but if your teeth are a certain part, apart, then they're all going to be that exact number. If your knuckle from knuckle to the, each one is the same measurement.
Thing,
right? So it's relevant to, but it just shows to your proportion. That everything is already there's no mistake. Like, someone doesn't have a longer, front part of their finger, than the rest of it. It's all,
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's in your DNA code.
Wow.
So it's really interesting. If anybody out there wants to look into the Fibonacci, and that's Fibonacci sequence. It's Fibonacci, and it's really interesting stuff, a buddy of mine and me had a 4-hour discussion on this, going back, talking about everything, because he was learning about it, and I learned about it a couple years ago, but it just made me go back to it recently. And you know, and like Marcus said, it you know, once you start getting into this stuff, you start, you know, talking about everything that has to do with our whole creation and, you know, and religion and just every, you know, it's just a mind blowing, you know, stuff pretty much that's been figured out. And there's also certain frequencies and whatnot, you know, that are, that make people, happy or sad or, you know, and they can, you know, people can, you know, listen to, is it 528 hertz or something? I forget what it is. There's some type of frequency that's like, you know, going to end up being, you know, more positive and opposed to what the other, music industry uses. It's one that's like totally off and not, you know, positive. I forget which band it was, did a few songs, in the different range.
Wow. That's
to make a very long story short, once you look into phi or phi, phi is the Greek way to say it. You're pretty much going to be out about a weekend of just being blown away by how literally everything from pine cones to seashells to the distance between your dimple on your face to your upper lip to your nose bridge is no matter what human being you go up to is exactly the same proportion.
That's crazy.
It is like, crazy
I'm
stuff.
I'm 6'5", and just to think someone, you know, 5'5", we all have the same measurements, but, you know.
But relative to...
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that is pretty crazy stuff. I've never heard of it. Never heard of it before. Never heard of it before. But you know what? Before we get out of here and stuff, Marcus, why don't you just tell people about your website and your talk show account or whatever so people can find you.
Sure. Thank you for that. It's www.truthin7minutes.com. And back in 2008, I knew that something was wrong. I didn't know what it was. And I pretty much documented my journey through audios. And I did it for my sons, my two sons. And I still do it for my two sons. And I have sort of an audio diary of where I've come to the point where the things that we talk about tonight. So if you go there, you'll see on the right-hand side, I've got a few other people who do these from time to time. So you can click on those links on the right-hand side and see there. They're called Talk Shoes. It's a free service that does a radio show for you and records it. And I jump on these usually two or three times a week. And then I have a blog on my website, truthin7minutes.com, that I periodically update. Probably the most popular, without a doubt, the most popular blog post on that page is about controlled opposition. For some reason, people think of me when it comes to outing controlled opposition. I really don't want to be known for that because it creates a lot of problems. I think my 9/11 post is probably the best post you've ever seen on 9/11. So I'd rather be known for that, but unfortunately I'm not. So I appreciate you inviting me on, Brian. It was great.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. I really I had a good time. I always do. Talking with you is always a pleasure. I should mention, guys, when you go to Marcus's site, you click where it says Fireside Chats, and that will bring you up to his talk show. It makes it a little easier to find it, and all his shows are there. We also have a talk show now. Now, that'd be too confusing me broadcasting to too many things at once. I'm just going to broadcast here like we do. But all of our archive shows, as you can find them here, you can also find them on TalkShoe. I don't know the exact link. I'll put the link up in the chat in a minute. I'll pull it up, and I'll put it up here for you guys, and I'll put it in the comment wall. But the reason I put it there is I want to put our show out to some other communities because I know there's some people that actually go on to things like TalkShoe and Blog Talk, and they look in the directory, and they look for shows, and if more people can hear us that way, then I'm all for it. Now we've had some people streaming us tonight, Justin, from Freethink Radio, correct?
Yes, I believe so.
So for everybody out there listening to us on Freethink Radio, the way you can find us is we are on the Real News Online www.therealnewsonline.com. That's www.therealnewsonline.com. And when you go there, we got a bunch of stuff. We have our own blogs that we do, some really good stuff there. That's some of the stuff you're not really going to hear from too much of the truth movement, some of the stuff we talk about tonight. We dig into a lot of stuff there. Justin writes, I write there, and another friend of ours, Mike DeMann, writes there. And, of course, we have – there's a whole bunch of stuff on the site, you know, news. But we do our radio show here. Just go to the page that says Real News Radio. You can get us live right at the top of the page. Anytime we're live, which is every Sunday night at 10:30 Eastern, we're live. So just come in, hit the Listen Now button, and it'll open up for you, and you'll be good. And to hear any archive show, just scroll down. It's underneath the comments. Everything's there. We also do a sports show once in a while. We haven't done that many of them, but we'll let you know when we do another one. I want to thank everybody for tonight. Justin, you got anything you want to say before we get out of here?
No, I just wanted to say thanks for listening, everybody out there. You can catch us next Sunday. Besides that, just you know, try to use your bullshit detector as much as possible. Besides that, yeah, thanks for listening. That's all I got to say.
All right, guys. I want to thank our
callers. Thanks for Marcus for coming on. And sorry, that was it. Go ahead.
All right, yeah, guys. I want to thank our callers. I want to thank Marcus Allen, Justin Cook. I'm Brian Stavely, and guys, we are out of here until next week.
Call in 10 minutes to say I did it. Call in 10 minutes to say I did it.
Baby. That's right.
Happy to see me. Wasn't y'all talking when I got in here? Finish.
No.
Wow, well, that wasn't what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, call in 10 minutes to say I did it. Just call in 10 minutes to say I did it.
Yo, Piggy, man, we got it going on, baby. It's on and cracking, man. He's gone, baby. You the man, you the man. Champagne, caviar, dreams from now on.